Before you start listening to this podcast, we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, which will give you full access to everything on our website, and we'll also throw in a free £20 Amazon voucher. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly, and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Now, this morning, the UK's top share index, the FTSE 100, had its worst day since the financial crisis. It fell 8%, wiping billions off the value of major firms. James, how bad is this, and how bad are things going to get, do you think?
I mean, this is both the coronavirus spread and the fall in the price of oil, which is in part related to the coronavirus, but also this Russia-Saudi dispute. I think what this highlights is that the market is heading into panic mode. Now, you can say from a kind of detached, logical position, well, look, the bounce back from the economy once this virus is through the system will be fairly rapid. This is not a 2008-style moment where the whole transmission mechanism of the economy got bunged up. So that was a crisis that had a kind of decade-long aftermath. This one, I don't think will. But I think it shows you just how dramatic the economic impact of this could be over the next few months. Now, if you look at what's happened in Italy, and we are not in an Italian situation yet in this country, but if you look at that lockdown that is in effect, the economic impact of something like that, if that starts being replicated in more countries around the world, is going to be huge. And so I think this poses a big challenge for the budget on Wednesday, which is, what do you say to reassure businesses and individuals? Now, reassuring individuals here is particularly important, because what you want to do is you want to create a situation where if people potentially have coronavirus, they don't think, oh, I'm going to carry on working because I need money to pay my tax bill, or I need money to pay for my next shop or whatever, because obviously that would not slow down the rate of transmission if people who are sick and presenting symptoms carry on going to work. So I think there is a question for what does the budget do then? I think if you look at Katie's blog and what the Chancellor Rishi Sunak said on Mar, he was talking about a kind of range of possibilities. And so I think that is where the government is kind of, the budget on Wednesday will not say this is the one thing we're going to do. It'll basically be setting out more of what is in the government's arsenal if it needs to take steps.
Katie, do you think there might be ability for the government to sort of relax its financial rules then and not stick to its spending commitments that it's made in the past?
So at the weekend, Rishi Sunak wouldn't confirm whether or not he was going to stick with Sajid Javid's fiscal rules. And when he was pressed on it, he ultimately would only say that he believed in fiscal responsibility, which isn't a particularly revealing answer and can ultimately mean whatever you want. And I think we're rarely going to find a Tory politician, even one in favour of high spending, saying that they don't believe in fiscal responsibility. So I think he's left space for them to be looked at, and we'll have to see on Wednesday what comes to be. But I do think there is a sense that ultimately, when you're responding to so many factors outside of your own control, I think that some of the things you would do on a good day, or even perhaps an average day, slightly go out the window. And it was interesting, George Osborne, the former Chancellor, was speaking on the Today programme this morning, and he was saying, you know, I don't think the fiscal rules really apply right now. And I think the implication of that being that if you do end up in this situation, which is not perhaps unprecedented, but so many unreliables and so many things that are hard to predict and a global factor, it's going to be ultimately how does the UK government think it's best to get the country through that period in the next couple of months, rather than what this means for the long-term strategy. I think you head into the short term, what do we need to do to keep everything going? I think that partly because everything is so unpredictable, when it comes to new spending announced on Wednesday, the focus is very much on what's been promised in the manifesto, and this idea of trying to rebuild some trust in politics by actually making sure there is the money to do those things. Outside of that, I think the only areas you're really going to hear about much new spending is on the coronavirus. There is a sense that that's where they are going to have to find funding. So not just in terms of the NHS, something the Chancellor also said at the weekend would get as much funding as it requires. Now, some will say, well, we think it requires a lot more than probably is even in your ballpark. But there was a clear commitment there. And secondly, on, I think, how does the government best think it can help businesses, normally healthy businesses, that will have short-term issues because of the coronavirus? I think the focus, as we saw with Flybe, is less on trying to help ailing businesses, for whom this could be, you know, the final straw, and is instead saying businesses that would normally be absolutely fine in this period, what do we have to do to get them over the line? So I think you are entering period of, you know, extraordinary measures, because the census, this isn't a long-term situation.
In other news, the former head of the Qualities and Human Rights Commission, Trevor Phillips, has been announced that he's been suspended from the Labour Party over comments he made over Islamophobia. James, does this sort of give a bit of an indication of the way the Labour Party is heading, do you think, and the way, in terms of the way it sees the world?
Well, there is obviously an irony here, which is, you know, the first head of the Equalities and Human Rights Commission has been suspended by the Labour Party, while the Labour Party has been investigated by that body for its approach to anti-Semitism. But I think there's an important point worth arguing here, which is, what does the term Islamophobia mean, and what does it mean that you can or cannot discuss? And I think there is a difference here, which is, as a society, we have a much better understanding of what anti-Semitism is than what Islamophobia is. So, for example, if someone says that British Jews' loyalty is primarily to the State of Israel rather than to the UK, we all can clearly recognise that as a statement that indulges in a kind of anti-Semitic trope. I think that Trevor Phillips' argument is that the term Islamophobia has been used to suppress debate about various things that need to be discussed. And I think there is undoubtedly a certain truth that the phrase has sometimes been thrown around too quickly and has therefore stopped people talking about, for example, one of the things that Trevor Phillips said was, you know, different social attitudes among British Muslims compared to the majority of the rest of the population. Now, there is polling data which suggests that to be a broadly accurate statement. I think to define a statement like that as Islamophobic does strike me as a way of trying to shut down debate.
I think the irony that Trevor Phillips actually was one of those who coined the word Islamophobia even. Katie, do you think there's something slightly odd about the timing of this suspension, in that a lot of the comments Trevor Phillips has made have come from over the past few years?
Well, I think, yeah, if you look at ultimately the fact the Labour leadership contest will at some point end. That's not until next month. But at that point, in theory, you are going to have new personnel in Labour HQ in Southside. And Jenny Formbury, who's currently acting as the General Secretary, is going to potentially have a successor, but is not completely confirmed. So I definitely think there's a sense that, if you want to call them, I suppose, you know, those on the very left of the party want to have a go at getting certain members out, now is the time to do it. So I think somebody's quick to say it's politically motivated in that sense. I think it's an interesting thing when ultimately, right now, the Labour Party should be making headlines, because they should be taking the attention you get of the Labour leadership contest to make various pledges about the party it wants to be. But once again, it seems to be a debate about factionalism and one faction against another faction. Now, those who say actually Trevor Phillips, there is an argument he shouldn't be a member, a lot of them are pointing to things he said in the past, as you mentioned, one of which was this idea that Muslims are becoming a nation within a nation. He said that in 2016, but I think it seems that one of the big charges against him is that Tommy Robinson at some point has adopted that phrase, right, and used it themselves. But I think, as Phillips has pointed out in some of the comments surrounding today, ultimately you can't stop people from taking phrases you use and use them to their own means. So I think also, if you're going to get to start into a situation of, well, we don't like the specific thing one person said, I mean, there are plenty of questionable things that figures in the Labour Party in quite senior positions have said in the past. So I think that's the problem of it. Even if you take the position which some in Labour are doing today of saying they don't like some of the things Trevor Phillips has said in the past, I think the point is, if you apply that same rule to the other side, I think a lot of other people are being expelled as well.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.